Hi, Decoders. Today we're sharing what excites us as we start into the new year. And for us, that means embodiment class. And there's a lot to look forward to there.
Hi, I'm Kieran Trace. Welcome to Humans Decoded, a story of hobbits, fairies, elves, dwarfs, gnomes, and humans. If you get lost at any point, there is a deep dive on all the different avatars in episode one. It includes notes. Thank you for joining us in a fun little chat about the vast potential of our human makeup.
Hi, Leela. Hi, Cammy.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
I love to talk about this today because it makes me remember how Kieran always says embodiment is such a great reminder each year to come back to actually listening to your body and to hear your being and its signals. And, you know, in the past, when I heard you say that, I was like, what do you mean? Come back? Why would you ever leave? But that was, you know, it was in a time when my life externally was quite small and there wasn't much going on besides sitting in silence, sitting with God. Like, I didn't have much wiggle room to move away from pure silence. Well, that has changed. Now there's a lot more going on externally, and I do, in fact, have more wiggle room to move in all kinds of directions and, yes, get distracted as well. So now I'm like, oh, thank God for embodiment. Thank God for the reminder to notice the simplicity of, I really do get to lean back into awareness, into silence, and hear my body and my being.
I think sometimes when people hear that we take classes again and again, it doesn't always make sense. I think people are confused, like, why would you take a class again and again? Why wouldn't they have learned something from that class? But this speaks to the nature of our classes. There's this endless depth. They're not these tools you master. They're tools that you begin to understand, and then they start to radically change your life. That's especially in the first year. In the second year, when it hits deeper, you start to understand that these are not tools at all. These are universal architectures. These are blueprints from source. And then in the third year, it's so funny because people actually tend to have a little fumble there. The vast majority of people fumble in their third year of class because the very next obvious level of depth that's calling you in to these sort of profound principles of source will make a fundamental and massive shift. And that really flips everything on its head, especially what a lot of people have already thought were these sort of universal principles, laws of the universe. It actually ends up flipping all that on its head. And that's not like conceptually, but your actual nitty-gritty daily walk, talk, life. And then it flips on the head what people think tools are or even evolution is. So, you know, by third year, you're just profoundly unrecognizable to your original self that started in the first year. And, you know, some people wipe out totally and then just kind of go into automatic pilot. And some people fumble and leave class and community for a little bit, and then they come back with their heads in their hand, pretty humble. Or some people make it through, the rare few that make it through. So then the next year begins. And that's when I think it gets really juicy. So class is absolutely about watching life unfold, and the embodiment focuses on the unfolding in the body and the being in this moment. Life is the author and creator. It's both very, very big an evolution and very, very cool. And it's a real change to how we've been living our lives.
Embodiment is such a great class to just like clean all the cobwebs away, even if you've never come to it before, it's not what you think it is. And even if you're coming back to it again, it just blows you away for entirely new reasons. I remember the first time I came to class, my sort of history was, you know, spending time with Muji and the Sangha, and it was very much like a spiritual kind of devotion. So the embodiment class presented a really big challenge because I felt like I didn't really want a body. I thought the point of spirituality was to like go outside and not have a body so that you could be with God. So I would say the whole foundation to my practice evolving in the way it has is because of the body and the body class and coming back to the body. And so as a fairy avatar and also as this being that is Kami, like grounding doesn't come very naturally to me. So when I was seeking, I was looking for something external, and it sounded like this moment is too uncomfortable. Who cares about the body? Because I want to be with Source. But it turns out the biggest possible support I could have asked for is embodiment, because guess what? God is here in the body. Source is form, source is everything, and you get to find that out for yourself. So inside of your own feet, this you, this moment, like us right here in the flesh, it's God, it's source. So I say it often in the podcast, but I can never be reminded enough to come back to the body. So it's just the best thing being able to do it as a cohort with all my buddies. It's the biggest discovery over and over again that this being in this body talking to you into this mic, that it's just all blessings, all good.
And I think the things that can get in the way of this very, very simple in this body, in these feet, in this moment, this is life, this is source, is, like you mentioned it a little bit, Cam, this like, who cares about the body? Or I don't want to be in this body and being confronted with the incarnation. No, and you also mentioned it before, Kieran, like the deconstructing of the stories to discover more freedom is really challenging, to come back to that again and again. And I do find the body itself and embodiment as a class, it's such a clear, concrete, practical way to go about it, you know, to discover the stories and then see through them eventually at some point. Like, it is in my body that I'm confronted with my stuff, that I'm confronted also with my unwillingness. For example, in this moment, I'm sort of revisiting the whole story of bodies need movement to cope with the food we put in, like sugar. And for years, prior to taking Kieran's classes, you know, movement has been such an inbuilt sort of fixed thing for me. I did my yoga practice so and so many times per week. I went running. Of course, it all came from effort. And then taking the class for the first time and starting to actually hearing the body and the being, for quite some time, movement almost completely dropped away. I hardly moved at all. I just had to sit and, you know, rest. And then later it came back. And now I would say it's such a like spontaneous of the moment thing that sometimes I couldn't tell you if I moved today or not. And then sometimes around that, I noticed the fear of, I would say it comes from my I'm not safe belief system baggage. This little fear voice that says, oh, hang on, like, am I moving enough? Maybe it's not good enough. Am I doing a good enough job, you know, with this body? However, like recently I was talking to Cam and she mentioned these spontaneous little dance parties after meals, and something inside of me lit up, like this real true question. I think it's not coming from fear of, is movement an actual thing, or is it safe to leave it with the moment, so to speak? And in this moment, I don't know. It's an open question. It's an exploration. And I'm super curious to do this exploration of the course of class and see where there's little pockets of stuckness and unwillingness to let the body move more, or the opposite, where are like these little pockets of agenda to make the body move more than it really wants to.
Yeah, it's the perfect class to show you where you're gripping the hardest. And yep. I mean, you take it and then there's a whole year and you're like, I'm good. But you just don't realize the kind of little habits that have crept back in throughout the year. And I think it's intentional that we sort of open up with this class in January. It's sort of like a fresh start. Like a fresh approach to the whole year and a kind of cleaning house movement as well. And I think for me, the embody class is often a kind of hurts so good, like when you're getting a deep tissue massage and you're like, right there. Because it's such a great way to come up against where you're stuck. And you might think it's just about food or movement, but then you see these really visceral, concrete ways that there is a block. And also, you know, with that, you get a very clear pathway for how to unblock it. And then when you unpack all of these things, you come out with all this freedom on the other side. And so it always feels a little bit scary, but also I can't wait.
You know, in our last embodiment class, we had these really beautiful, you know, first years. And one of the first years had this wonderful little, just like what you're saying, like little bug, little kind of like blockage. And she was very experienced with inquiry and very experienced with being very present and had some genuine access to the deeper field of the moment, you know? And it was really great because she was suffering from a lot of health conditions and you know, she physically was unwell in many places, but labs and allopathic medicine was all rather inconclusive and she was sort of getting nowhere. It was mysterious to her. Anyways, she would start to walk this pathway, like you're saying, this very concrete pathway of how to unpack it all. And then it would be blazingly obvious, you know, and it'd be written on our community boards and like, this is why I'm having these conditions. You know, I'm having the dizziness and vertigo because of this. And I'm dead. Like it was all right there. It was super, super obvious when she went to look at it. And then she would finish almost every paragraph she wrote with, but I don't really know. But I don't know why it's happening. And it was so cool to see that's where the programming bug was. This like, a kind of not safe that would just bounce from the information that her own insight and her own awareness, you know, because I offer this really concrete path. So it became obvious. Like she could just like look right in, see the thing, see what was going on. It was really obvious and then bounce, you know, and not catch. And she wouldn't catch the bounce. It was so habituated. And I think, you know, we know decoders, we all know like that sort of like, but I don't know, but who knows, you know, like this sort of like, without noticing that that is some level of not safe bouncing because maybe the next thought is like, I should have seen this already, or then I'm going to have to go change my whole life around. And neither of those are true either. Those are also, you know, more pain bodies. But we do this like, I'm seeing so clearly. The light is on. Bounce. So there's a lot of joy for me in watching, you know, you guys all take class. But I take class too. And, you know, always, there's always new evolutions to explore. There's always new, yeah. You know, there's never a ceiling that you hit. It just keeps going. It's such a beautiful thing about the infinite field of oneness is that it's like ever expansive. You know, currently, and I've talked about this on the podcast, you guys, decoders have heard that I'm really interested in for me, I feel like there's three big intersections about wellness, thriving health. And it can be, you know, physical form, and we might think of like homeopathic medicine, allopathic medicine, which is more contemporary Western medicine, Chinese medicine, you know, these different medicine modalities that are really focused on the level of form. And then there's energetic, and that's the, you know, that's the energy that our organs, our skin, our bones, our fascia, etc., are made of, and includes a wider field of our body that, you know, would be the precursors to the form, because the energy comes first. But then there's this third intersection, which is the like interaction with the presence in the deeper field of this moment. And that presence has this beautiful way, and decoders, many of you guys know this, like as it hits the field, the energy field of our being, and we start to get these like kundalinis and these kriyas. And, you know, if you've ever been at a Kieran Trace retreat, it's like everybody's kind of like Mexican jumping beans bouncing around with this source energy, just like flipping their limbs. Rumor has it that's sort of how yoga was created originally. Anyway, these three intersections are kind of fascinating when we're looking at our being and our and embodying our moment. So I'm very into like, wow, we need our own functional health, you know, like where we where our doctors are looking at this three-point integration. And so then for me, it's like the embodiment class is where I gather data. You know, and recently I've been having like all my master's class students wear glucose monitors so we can watch when they're in meditation or when they're sort of very captivated by baggage or pain body. We can see glucose spiking because cortisol spikes and creates that. So it's been really, really fascinating to watch, you know, everybody gather data. Then I'm like, nom, 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 data, nom, 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 nom. I like watching how this source energy is impacting our physical form so instantly in the moment. It's just like recently I had a heart afibrillation. Some of you guys, decoders, might have had that. It's like your heart just starts beating really fast. And the upper chamber's pumping, 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 but there might not be enough blood after a while. And the heart can contract and have a little bit of damage there. And the heart will, you know, heal that damage, you know, mostly on its own. But what was really interesting to me is like this was going on and there was like no underlining. You know, I had CAT scans and labs and everything was like normal, 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 normal. No aneurysms, no blood clots, no blah, 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 blah. And the doctors were sort of like, well, it happens. And so for me, though, I'm sort of like, well, that's just one intersected data point, you know? And I'm very, very curious about the rest of the data points. I have an enormous injustice belief system, and I'll tell you, it's right up under that left shoulder blade banging against the backside of my heart, you know? And, you know, if I've been doing a lot of energy work or a lot of triggers around there, is that a precursor that hits off an AFib? Or is there another intersection at the source field just wanting to start to amplify something in my system for me to be looking at karmically? Because that's, of course, what all that is. Not just kundalinis and kriyas, but there's this huge amplification of wherever our habitual stuck stuff is, disproportionately to the laws of form. So something, if we're soaking in a lot of deeper source presence, it will amplify, you know, systems. That's why we've talked about this in the past, these mysterious illnesses, but it's really just an amplification to make us really look at our not safe or our not good enough. Or although I will say I was very unconcerned about the heart, challenge. But anyways, I just feel like class is this place where the maps are so clear and are presented so clearly, and then people can see. You know, recently one of our other first years, who's, you know, self-identifies as being quite awake and a lot of access to source. And wow, was it hard for that, for him to like hear, he could hear all of the old habitual firings around the body. And it's stuff we all have, like, this is good food for me, or this is bad food for me, or, you know, with my body, I have these needs, you know, genetically, you know, my family has, you know, this cholesterol or this, and that's a lot of story that is often unquestioned story because of not safe in there. And it was amazing to watch that same sort of like, it was, you know, he said, this is one of the hardest processes he's ever had to do because, you know, he was camped out kind of where Cam talked about, like, I don't want to come back in here. There's a whole bunch of crap in here. And as soon as I hit the level of form, there's so much story coming at me. And it's like, yeah, but you're not free if you're hanging out in this place 3 feet from your own body. You know, it's... You got to come in. You got to come in and sort it. And we'll give you a map. And there's a beautiful cohort, et cetera, et cetera. So I think it's just a beautiful opportunity. And I so look forward to class for all the data gathering for myself and everyone.
I so relate to that. Like, what do you mean I have to come and sort this shit out?
What do you mean my freedom means everything?
Yay!
What do you mean every domain can be free? Can we just leave that shit over there? I'm good. Over here.
Yeah. I feel like coming to class can often mean coming to be humbled. Because you might not realize that you're coming in with these assumptions like A plus B equals C. And then... you get to check your math. You get to realize that, like, A is a bullshit story you picked up when you were three. B is, like, the comfort food that you picked up to cover up that story. C is, like, not that much freedom. Absolutely. So, yeah, you get to, like, I don't know, learn complex algebra. That kind of, like, unpacks all these things. And then you end up with the right number and it feels good.
Yeah, I love this, what you're saying here, and of like just gathering the data and looking at all these intersections, because as you're talking, there's another question lighting up inside of me of like, okay, so when it's just pure source or just pure being, time and space, for instance, they're not a thing. And as we explored in the traveling episodes, the laws of form, they don't apply. And at the same time, this seems to be, this body, this being is also in form. It's existing in form as well, no? And I think it's right there where we can easily get hung up on stories. I get hung up in stories there. It's like, oh, I only need energy healing. That's the only support for me. I don't ever need, you know, a doctor anymore. Or this is a purely physiological thing, so I'm just going to find a, you know, Western medicine doctor to sort it out. And I have to admit, I get hung up or confused here, and I mostly fall into Lala, you know, Decoder's, this disconnected fantasy version of reality. As I said, I never need a doctor ever again. I don't need to get my labs done, which is complete bullshit, because... it all works together. It's all source. So we get to harness, you know, like the whole intelligence, not just one piece of the whole thing. And yeah, so I'm saying like, yes, please, this exploration of the three parts, it feels so alive and juicy, and can't wait.
And also, because we take these classes over and over again, I feel like, as you know, there's like a light bulb going off in this moment for Kieran about exploring this like three-part harmony. It's like, woohoo, because we're all going to get to go on that journey with Kieran. every year there's like a new nuance or a new depth in each round of class we take. And we've mentioned it before, but the class itself has a field that's holding you. So you think you're doing it, you know, on your own and contributing a little bit by writing messages on our community board. But actually, there's a momentum that's carrying you that's huge, and it's really palpable, and it's really something to be a part of it. And also, I would say the class hits on so many different levels. So if it's your fourth or your eighth year, there's something in it for you. But if it's your first year, it's still digestible. Like, you know, if there's willingness, there's so much to be gotten from, like, every level that you're at.
I love what you're saying, Cam, about, you know, what happens when you come into class and you enter this bigger energetic field. And it's a beautiful component of class that we, it's hard to language. So it's not so spoken about. We don't highlight it too much. And yet it's maybe one of the most palpable fundamental aspects of that precise map, is like being entered into a specific field. It's the infinite depth of oneness that you are not separate from. So the very thing that's listening to this podcast right now, the very thing that's listening to my voice, right? You, decoders listening, you're not coming out to hear what I'm saying, right? What I'm saying is meeting you. It's not even like these sounds are coming inside to your ears, right? It's actually a simultaneous movement that's arising. The hearing of what's being said. There's nothing you are doing there to receive it. And nothing is actually being received if we really, really, really break it down. It's a simultaneous event. It's a field that connects itself and creates pathways. So when you begin class on week one, you enter into a field that's fairly dominated by my access to this really loud, strong silence. And so you may not have that on your own, but when you come into class, that silence is palpable. It's like, oh, I have so much more access to that quiet thing. I've been listening to her meditations for weeks, but I suddenly get it. It's also like you can now also hear yourself so much easier. It sort of is like coming into, I don't know what the analogy is, maybe like a wind tunnel, but it's a wind tunnel of just your own true essence, your own true nature, yourself. And it's not something that's available if you're just watching YouTubes or you're reading books or you're just, you know, like picking up of this, picking up a bit of this. Like it doesn't offer you into that field. And so I love that you're just bringing up that part. I think that level of support is a hard thing to articulate.
Yeah, and the field you're mentioning, you're talking about, it manifests as this very real sense of community, like a very, very practical support. I remember when I took the class for the first time, that's about 10 years ago, and I was skeptical. It's like, I don't know, it's online, whatever. But from the first moment, I could feel all this tangible support and connection. Like you, for instance, you get a buddy for the whole class and share with them what's going on for you and hear them share what's going on for them. We have sort of a sharing platform where we share our insights, our stumbles, our oopsies, and you get to read from your classmates what they're discovering as they go through class. And it's super inspiring. Like each post I read there, every word I read there, it's so inspiring, and it sort of feeds back into my own dedication in a way. And so to have all these inbuilt supports where you can try and articulate your own discoveries in a very safe and supportive way. It feels like a wonderful mirror of the generosity, the kindness of silence and source.
Kieran often says we heal in community, and I feel like that aspect of it can't be underestimated. And just like Leela was describing, you know, there's times when you come up against your own stuff in class and it's really confronting. It can be really challenging and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then you go to the Slack board and read someone's insight that was maybe just where you were, and they've just made it through, and you're like, fuck yeah, okay. If they can do it, maybe I can. So it really does feel like a community healing. It's just so much unbelievably more supportive to do it as a community than just on your own.
Yeah, I think we're really saying, like, even for us, like, that's the thing the three of us are looking forward to, you know, is this collective field and the reminders that come in from our, like, first years writing their insights. Mm. And it's so inspiring. And it's such a perfect reminder for that part of your day, because it's like we're all here together in a way. And maybe some people have such deep isolation habits that they'll try to block themselves from that, but it doesn't totally work. And and I would say, like, even that, you know, you read that or you'll see on the boards, you're like, oh, we haven't heard from so-and-so for the last 3 or 4 weeks. You know, like, I'm already aware of where they are and what's going on for them in this sort of field. It's such a fresh and sweet, wonderful way to, like, it's almost like Cami said, hit the reset button on the new year. And, you know, we have 3 classes with a retreat kind of tacked up into the middle. And, you know, the second class is all about really harnessing the field of source for deep healing and transformation. And the third class is all about sort of like layers of fulfillment and risk taking. And so we end the year, which is meaning like last month, like the three of us were just in class, you know, with everybody, ending the year with like, oh, these are these really beautiful fulfillments that would be amazing to ripen into the in next year. If 2020, if all of these things happen for me in 2026, like I can see life is lining that up for me, and I can see that I'm like wanting it, and I can see that it's big, and I don't know, you know, like, so we end the year with this sort of like a kind of a practice there. And then it's so great to like hit the reset, start again. Let's see the crap that's in the way. It could be as small as bouncing from the present moment, you know, like it can be as big as an enormous pit of not safe you never even saw before. You suddenly have night terrors and you never had them before, or something, you know, that had been lurking, hiding there a long time. And it gets to be cleared out, and you get to sort of make this really clear map of like, okay, this is my body and my being here, you know, and then on we move. It's just this like spiraling of freedom. So I guess, Decoders, if you're ready to take class, you know, there's a registration's just open for a few weeks. I'm not great at remembering when that is. It's like middle of January or something like that. But you can go over to the website and sign up for the wait list, and we'll let you know when registration opens. But if you're not ready for class, if everything we said scared you, we have these sweet little short-term trainings available in 7 days to free your mind, which is a really great practice. Is there. We're going to have a group hang on the 17th of January. The details are going to be...
Also my birthday.
And Cami's birthday. Details are below. We owed you guys all a group hang. We're going to talk a little bit about 7 days to free your mind and that practice. We're going to do a little bit of meditation, a little bit of embodiment. We're definitely going to be talking about embodiment because we're so excited about it. There are lots of beautiful practices that you could start in at the like shallow end of the pool with these short little trainings. Regardless, it'll be lovely to get to know everyone and check the links below.
All right. Can't wait to hang with you all, to meet you in our life, and talk to you next week.
Yeah. And if you join class, you'll be right there with me, Leela, and Kieran. So hopefully we'll see you there. If not, we see you on the hang. If not, we see you on our Facebook page. Or, I don't know, maybe we'll bump into each other somewhere.
Bye.
Bye, decoders.
Love you all.
Thank you for listening. We obviously love hearing what you think. Your feedback helps us make a better show for you to listen to. So feel free to comment, and you can do it at Facebook, which is the Humans Decoded Podcast. And if you're not on social, you can always email any questions to us at outreach@kierantrace.com. And thanks for listening. We love you.